Hello everyone.
Hello.
My name is Shalun and I'm here tonight. Very glad to meet all of you, especially in San Diego. So, welcome. As you know, San Diego is one of the places that actually top 10 cities in America where people feel home. And a lot of people, they actually wanted to come to be a part of this community here. And to just even be here, it's a very nice place. How many of you is first time visiting this area? Yeah, first time. Don't be shy. What's your name?
Andre.
Andre? I'm gonna pick on you tonight. welcome. All right, so tonight I know a lot of you have been tired, been traveling, all that, but then I know God has something to speak tonight, do you believe? So I actually hope that you guys can be, I know I was very moved by just watching you guys praise, and I thank the praise team for doing a wonderful job. Yeah, let's give them a round of applause. And if to God, I mean to people, we show this kind of response, how much more to God, right? So I hope that tonight also, you can show some response if you want. Yeah, and I just hope that you can relax, learn something, and take away something tonight. And so just allow me to tell you a little bit about San Diego. And I know many of you visit here. If you see actually Geisel, this campus, UCSD, they have a shape like a tree, right? Have you guys heard about that? Yeah, they have a shape of a tree and there's a snake path, serpent path. They actually create this like a Garden of Eden where there's a knowledge of good and evil, like the books. And La Jolla here is actually just one of the really beautiful places. I don't know if you guys got a chance to catch the sunset. It's beautiful. Mainly, I saw a couple taking a selfie. Yeah, just out there. I know this is something you have to really experience. And the reason why I talk about this is because God created this. Yeah? God created everything like this. And it's a beautiful place. But just wondering, how many of you know the meaning of La Jolla? Anyone? The meaning of La Jolla. I mean, your name has a meaning, right? I mean, earlier I met Emmanuel and I met Enoch, and they have meanings of their names. What about La Jolla? Do you know where it's originated from? Spanish and Mexican. Whoa. Spanish. But do you know the meaning, La Jolla? Anyone? Skyler? No one? Oh, what does it mean?
Jewel.
Wow, that's correct. Let's give her a round of applause. Yeah. You're right. It is jewel. And one of the famous person actually spoke one time that if you look at the waves that's crashing in, it's actually like a bridal skirt. So if you look from the top, it's really a beautiful place. So La Jolla is a place really I hope that you can enjoy, and I hope that you can take advantage of that. And so really you're right, it's actually a place, let me see if this actually works. Okay, and you're right, La Jolla is a name, and that is like jewel. And the reason why today I want to open up this, because there's something I want to share with you. And you know jewel, right? You know jewel is, they're beautiful. They're just beautiful. But why are they beautiful? Because they sparkle, right? They sparkle, they're radiant, they're reflective. But now let's think about a fundamental question though. Can the jewel be this beautiful if there's no light? Can it be? Let's say for example, if there's a room full of jewels and you come in, we turn off the light, what do you see? Nothing but stones, right? And all of you tonight sitting here, you're beautiful as jewel, shining to me right now. I'm kind of blind here. But really, think about it. All of you, you are jewel before God, are you not? Do you believe? No? No one believe they're jewel? No? Really? You're creating the image and likeness of God, right? And so, I want to think about jewel, this thing, for a moment. If there's no light, it cannot be reflected. There will be no way to sparkle. And so, what did Jesus say to us? Don't lose the light. Who is the light? The light tonight is the Lord Himself. Amen? The light itself has to be here. We have to welcome Him to this midst. Otherwise, there's no way that we can learn anything. Without light, we are nothing. Without light, we cannot shine. And so everyone, this is one thing Jesus reminds us. Do not lose the light. Once you lose that light, then there's nothing more. And so, my next question is, I'm going to ask a lot of questions. Why are we here today? Why are we here this weekend? Ask yourself this question. Why are you here? Was it because simply it's a church retreat? Is that a reason why you're here? Or because Pastor Jay asked you to come? Invited? Was it because someone forced you? Like, or your mission, your parents, or your friends? Or simply that this weekend you have nowhere to go? Is that why you're here? I hope not. Why are you here?
God.
God. Oh, what's her name? What's your name?
I'm Eden.
Eden?
Yeah, like the garden.
Eden. Oh, beautiful name. It means joy. Yeah. Wow. Yes, it's God. I really hope that this is our reason here. Today we have to find a reason, and this is why I want to think about it. Because there's too many reasons. There's too many of them. But if you allow me, I want to redefine that reason. Let's read it together. This is in Isaiah 41 verse 9. It says, I took you from the ends of the earth. From its farthest corners I called you. I say, you are my servant. I have chosen you and I have not rejected you. Everyone, despite what reason it may be, who called you? Who called you? It's because God called you. Do you believe? God called you here. The Lord has called you here. Right? So that is why we have to know that. Fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You're mine. In fact, you might receive a phone call tonight. God is calling you. You're called by God. Tell your neighbor next to you, you're called by God, with a smile. Yeah, you're called by God. You're called by God here tonight. It was God. All along, it was God. God was behind the retreat itself. God was behind Pastor Jay. God was behind all of the mission. God was behind your parents, your friends. God was behind everything. And that is why you have to first and foremost recognize Him. If you don't recognize God, then you cannot feel God. You cannot know God. You cannot meet God. You cannot receive that one phrase from God. You have to know that God is the one who called you here. You're not here because of me. There's no reason why you're here for me. Because I'm really nothing. I'm only a mouthpiece before God. And so this is the reason why I stand before you. I'm not here to talk about myself, but I'm here to talk about God. So everyone, why are we here this weekend? God. And you know there is a theme, four letters. It's a very simple letter, but it's very magical because it is something that you can live with for the rest of your life. And it is to live like Christ. And I want you to take a moment about this though. Why is this the center? I want you to focus on this word, like. Because you may be alive. So many people, 7.3 billion people walking on earth alive. But if they have nothing to do with Christ, if there's a separation be here, then there is no life. This light has to be there. If Christ is alive and He has risen, and you know that, you believe that, but if you don't live like Him, there's no reason. At the end, life will become meaningless. And so I want you to focus on this life throughout the entire time. I want you to think about once again why you're here. And yes, we're here because God called us. We have to understand. And therefore today, I really pray, let's recognize Him. Let's recognize that we want to live like Christ. And you may forget everything that has been said today, or tomorrow, or Monday. But don't ever forget this one phrase, to live like Christ. And everyone, I hope that that as God called us, let's respond to Him, let's live like Him. And so this is my intro. I just wanted to share with you a little bit about background, and then I want you to know that you are as precious as jewel, but we need that light. So if you may, allow me to open with a short prayer, and we'll dive into the message itself, okay? Let's pray. Our Father God, Holy Spirit, our Lord Jesus Christ, we thank you so much for today. We thank you for giving us this wonderful chance that tonight we can be here, we can live, but more importantly, that we can live like Christ. You have called each and every one of us here. You want us to do something. You want us to learn something. You want us to hear something. And therefore, today I pray, let this message be conveyed. Let your heart be conveyed. Let your deepest heart, let the heart, the emotion that you have be conveyed. I truly pray, Lord, you may come yourself. You may come and touch each one of our hearts. You may come and walk into this room. Be the light that shines. And let us become the jewel that reflects. And let us become the ones that sparkles. And that we can lit up this more light to the rest of the world. Today I pray, even though the message may be short, even though we may be fatigued, but we pray, let us throw everything away. And at this very moment, let's only think about the Lord. We thank you, we welcome you, and all this we pray, truly in our name, the living Lord's name. Amen. Alright, I'm going to do a little introduction about myself, real quick. Okay, so it's very small. Well, my name is, once again, Xiaolun, and I'm 25 years old, or year younger version of Pastor Mao, Reverend Mao. And so one of the things that is, I was very fortunate to come here when I was 12, and I've been here ever since 12. I went to Korea to receive all the training, seminary, and came back to San Francisco, and now here in San Diego. Actually, I'm probably on my way to somewhere else, maybe this month or next month. And so really, this is a chance. I really thank God for this chance, one wonderful chance for me to meet with you guys and share with you guys. I actually was the 21st pastor in my family currently, and I'm really thankful because my family has been generation and after generation. Right now, they're still alive, and my dad, during my ordained, my dad was actually, he said, "Did you know you're the 21st pastor in our family?" I was like, "Wow, really?" And after that, we have a few more pastors happen in our family, but really, I'm just so thankful because what all of this righteousness that has been done, and I'm just so grateful to be a part of it. And ever since I was 9, I wanted to be a pastor because simply I saw how people gave to my dad and treated my dad so well, and I was just so thankful. And I thought, like, wow, you know, being a pastor, you can receive all the cookies, you can receive all the things. I mean, every time holidays, you have everything like that. And so I was able to do that, and I was like, okay, from 9, I'm gonna be a pastor. And so 21 years later, finally, when I was 30, I became a pastor, and ever since then, I've been working, running for him. And the reason why I'm here today, telling you all this, is not to brag about myself. There's nothing to brag, but there's someone I want to talk about, and he is way more than anything, and his introduction is way bigger than the screen can fit, and he is everything in my life. He has been someone that I live with. He is someone that I want to introduce you. You may have known him already, but how deep do you really know him? That is the question. Because by your life, reflecting of his, you will know how close that you are with him. Today, he is still alive. He is with us. Today, this weekend, he will come to each and every one of you. This is what I believe. And today, he will speak. But the question is, will you listen? The question, will you open your hearts, will you open your ears and understand what he's trying to say? And so, there's so much to talk about him, but if I were to just sum it up shortly, he came. He came, he's not just a king in heaven, but he came. He came down to the earth. And not only he came to love. He came to love because we need that love. We were searching for that love. And I'm sure one of you, every one of you, have been looking for that love. You may not know it, but love is such an important thing for human beings. We do everything for love. We try to be smarter because we want to be loved. We're trying to get more wealth, fame, everything because we want to be loved. We're trying to do so much work so hard so that we can be loved. But at the end, those physical love shatters. God, he came down because he wanted to demonstrate that love. And through that love, to an extreme that he would even go onto a cross, even go beyond what physical limitation is about. He will go beyond that love, and he demonstrated even through on the cross. And you know him. His story has been told again and again for 2,000 years. But what kind of life is that? To me, that's pretty epic. Is it not? You know this word, right? Epic. What does that mean, epic? Young people like to say that, oh, that's epic. But what does that mean? Anyone? Yes. Epic. Skylar, you want it? Yeah? Anyone? Huh?
Really, really big.
Really, really big. Okay. It's beyond great, right? It's beyond awesome. It's beyond all this kind of thing. It's one of the kind that no one can really fathom or experience. It's really epic. And so for me, this is what I want to share. Also, as I was praying, and this is what I was told, that we want to live like Christ. And so I examined Christ's life, and this epic jumped to me. And there's four secrets I want to share throughout these four messages throughout the entire weekend. And that is the epic life. I want to talk about the life that is like epic. I want to talk about EPIC. I know there's something called EPIA, AI, that's going on with the current church situation. And I didn't even know. I found it funny that, wow, okay. Because when I shared with my dad, he was like, you mean the EP AI we're going through? Is like, no, there's an epic, something else. And so today, this whole weekend, I'm going to talk about that. And so really, this is, I guess we're starting tonight with this first, and I guess I want to maybe just call them the e-message. And with this e-message, you may wonder what this e-message is all about. But before I say anything, do you want to take a guess, anyone? E. What do you think that was E about, Christ?
Epic.
Yeah, it is epic.
Eternal.
Huh? Energetic? Energetic, okay. So she's taking from the whole church thing.
I think she said evangelical. Right?
Evangelical, sorry, evangelical. Sorry, I thought it was even... evangelical, oh, I like that. Okay, what else? Eternity. Oh, you love that word, eternity. Anything else? Huh? Electronic? Oh, fits this time period. I'll give you a hint.
Energetic.
Energetic? In Matthew 11:15. Let's read together.
Whoever
has ears, let them hear. What does that mean? Whoever has ear, let them hear. And this place, this phrase, is not just Matthew 11:15. It happens in Matthew 11 or 13:9, 13:43, Mark 4:9, Luke 8, Luke 14, Revelation 2:3. You have all these places that talks about whoever has ear, let them hear. And this is the theme for tonight. And what does that mean? Whoever has ears, let them hear. This is actually one of the most overlooked statements in the Bible. Why? Because people don't know about it. You may think you understand, but you may not. It's really overlooked. People say, oh, those who have ears, let them hear. But think about it, does it even make sense? Who did not have ears when Jesus was speaking, and that Jesus would say to them, whoever has ear, let them hear? Does it even make sense? Is it understanding? Or Jesus causing himself to be misunderstood? Right? This is again and again happening in the Bible. And Jesus at that time, he experienced all this. And every time when he finished something, he would tell a parable, sow, seed, and all that, and he would say, let those people who have ears, let them hear. What is going on? What is this? And so today I want to define this with you. I want to talk about this with you. And this is the reason why we're here, and this is the reason why I want to share with you. This is actually one of the most important statements. Why? Because this is an invitation. Let whoever has ears, let them hear. It's an invitation. What kind of invitation? This statement, it splits, discerns, and differentiates. This is a thing that will split whether you are a believer of God, true believer of God, true follower of God, or not. It's a challenge that we need to live. And Jesus, He is the first person who lived like this. Whoever has ears, let them hear. And from Matthew 11:15, if you look into the context, Matthew 11 is actually the time when Jesus talked about John the Baptist. John the Baptist was being talked about because John the Baptist sent people telling Jesus, are we waiting for you? Are you really the one that we're waiting for? Or are we waiting for someone else? Because John the Baptist was imprisoned. And at that time, Jesus said, go and tell him that this happened. Go and tell him that lame walked. Go tell him that, you know, gospel is being preached to the poor. And all of this is happening. Dead is rising and resurrecting. Let them know. And verse 14 has the answer to what this really means. In verse 14 it says, and if you're willing to accept it. John the Baptist, he is the Elijah who was to come. And then he said, whoever has ears, let them hear. Everyone, this is a very humbling statement. Because it's very passive aggressive. Jesus trying to invite, Jesus trying to let you understand. Please, listen. When you talk about ears, right? When we talk about ears, you want to hear something. Which one can you hear? Which one can you not hear? When we talk about hearing, right? You cannot hear if there's something stuck. What must you do? If there's something covered, what must you do? Take it out. And another word, right? You need to empty it. This same is telling you, you need to empty yourself. Think about what Jesus went through 2,000 years ago when he came as the Son of God. Was he accepted? Did people welcome him? Or instead, the teachers of the law, the Jews, they were like going after him and trying to find faults whatever he said. Do you remember Jesus say, love your enemy? Do you know why he said that? Well, because we need to practice love. But who was Jewish people's enemy at that time? Who was it? God, Jesus himself. Yeah. Jesus himself was the biggest enemy for Jewish people at that time. When Jesus said, love your enemy, what was Jesus talking about? Love me. If you love me, accept me, you can receive the salvation that I, the Son of God, can grant you. Come and follow me. Empty your Old Testament thinking. For 4,000 years, you're stuck in this law. You're stuck in this prophecy. You're waiting and waiting and waiting, and I'm here, but you cannot see me. Empty yourself. Perception is such a scary thing for human beings. Is it not? Perception is very scary. Because if you proceed this way, no matter what happens, what people tell you, you will not proceed the other way unless you empty out yourself. Emptying yourself is the first step to become like Christ. Why? Because Christ himself, he first emptied himself. He came down from heaven, right? He emptied who he was. He took the lowest form and he came to us. He emptied himself, everything. Even creation. How were we born? Were we born, dress up everything and say, hi mommy, hi daddy, like that? No, we were born naked. Even God intended, even in the very beginning, everything is emptied. How about when we die? Can we bring anything? We cannot. Emptying, this is the most important statement because you need to empty yourself so you can listen to the word of God. Jesus said, listen to me and believe the one who sent me. In John chapter 5, he told us. You have to listen. If the word is being preached to you, but then you will not listen, as all the parents experience with their kids, going this way and coming out that way, right? And this is what we experience all the time. And can you imagine that God is experiencing the same thing? That his word is being proclaimed, but no one's listening. And that is why tonight, the first call of action is, we need to empty. Empty is very good, isn't it? Why is it good? Think about it. Sometimes we talk about detox. Right? fasting, all that. Well, why is detox even good? Because there's so much that is stored. What about your brain? Your brain is stored with all these things. And so much is stored, but it needs to be emptied out. Jesus said, are you willing? Jesus cannot say, believe me. Even though he had all the rights to say that. But he said, if you're willing to accept. That man is John the Baptist. He's Elijah to come. And so everyone, I don't know so far what you think about this. But I want to talk a little bit more too. Because if you think about the phrase, those who have ears, let them hear. But then the question is, was it the physical ears that Jesus was concerning about? Was that the case? Was physical ears the concern? It was not. That's not what Jesus is saying. And he's frustrated all the time, right? What was the concern for him? It's not the physical ears, but it's the spiritual ears. Everyone, we have spiritual ears. You have to empty out inside. You have to empty out inside. If you don't empty out, then nothing can be done. A wisest person, king, in Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23, he says, above all else, guard your heart. For everything you do flows from it. In this world, what's more filthy? Our physical ears or our spiritual ears? All the gossip that you're listening to. All the news that has nothing to do with God in this world. All the media that's coming to you, your eyes, what you're watching, what you're hearing, what you're contemplating in your heart. What's more filthy? It is no longer our physical body. Why? Because with physical body, you can just wash them away. But the spiritual body, the spiritual heart, the spiritual ear, that needs cleansing. And that is why we need to empty out everything. If we don't empty out anything, we cannot receive. This afternoon, I was watching the youth doing a workshop, playing the basketball. And imagine, it was so fun to shoot the first goal, right? But let's say you shot the first goal, it was there, made it. And the person is not emptying out the bucket. Can you put any more balls into it? Cannot. You cannot put anything more into it. We need to let it go. There are things in the past we need to let it go. There are things in the present we need to let it go. There are things that will happen in the future that we also need to let it go. And so I want to turn your attention to biblical figures. See how they empty out themselves. And you know all of them, they're familiar to you. You heard them during Sunday school, everything. Moses. Oh, Abraham, I'm sorry. Abraham. He emptied out himself, right? How? He sacrificed his one and only son. He so wanted it. He'd been praying for years after years. And God made a miracle. And said, this is it. But God said, give it back to me. Ask yourself, if you're Abraham, can you do it? Are you willing to empty out that to God? But because he gave it to God, God gave him back. God blessed him more than enough. God let his descendants be as many, numerous as stars in the sky and sands along the shore. That's Abraham. What is your son? What is your daughter that you need to give up? Moses. He takes off the sandals. What's your sandals? If he's not willing to take off sandals, do you think he can go close to God? No. God said the place that you're standing is a holy ground. Take it off. What's your sandal today? Is there someone in your heart? Is there something in your heart? Is there some material in your heart that's blocking the way? That's avoiding you to walk closer to God? What is it? Only you know. Joshua, he tore down the walls of Jericho. He forsook his own feeling. He was afraid. And God said, be bold and be strong and go and conquer this land. Do it with me. And he tore down the wall of Jericho. Everyone, what's your wall? What's your wall? What's blocking you to come closer to God? To be more closer with God. We finished. Yay! Okay. Oh, we came back. Wow, earlier everyone's like, yeah! So once again, Abraham, Moses, Joshua. What are yours to take off? What are yours to give? What are yours to tear down? More, do you know this person? Of course you know, Peter. When he met Jesus, what did he do? Jesus said, come and follow me. Did he hesitate? Let me go home and ask my dad first. Let me go home and ask my wife first. No, he let down everything and he followed. More, do you know this little short guy climbed the tree? You know him. You laugh at him at times, right? But he met the Lord. Why? Because he climbed the tree. Is there something that you need to climb tonight? Is there something that you need to climb this weekend? To meet the Lord, to see the Lord. When there are people blocking you, what do you do? Do you stay passive? You know, if this is not the will, it's not the will. But are you like Zacchaeus? It's like, no, no, I need to see the Lord. If I see the Lord, I'll be okay. And he was right. He climbed the tree, he saw the Lord, and the Lord said, come down, let me go to your house tonight. And he realized, wow, it happened. And his life changed. And not only he realized that, he took action. Lord, if there's anyone I wrong, I'm going to do this. He took action with it. Everyone, people like that, when they empty themselves, God can work through them. God can really work through them. And that is why I'm inviting you to empty yourself tonight. First and foremost, empty out everything. This is the reason why we're here. And furthermore, right? Paul, what did he say? I kill myself every day. Every single day, I kill myself. Not physically, not literally, but he's killing himself again and again every single day. His physical desire, his past. Imagine Paul's heart when he was preaching the new gospel, when all his family and his friends in the past knew him as a Jewish person, someone who would actually take all the disciples and Christians, throw them into jail. He was a person who was converted, and then everything's different now. Imagine his heart. Even the disciples will not accept him. His past, his friends and family will not accept him. Think about how much he gave. He killed himself every single day. Have you done to that point that, God, I'm going to kill myself today? I'm not going to feel what I want to feel. All my physical desire, I give it up to you. Have you ever prayed that kind of prayer before? Try it, everyone. And the most important person that we need to learn, who has led an epic life, even before death, and now we're talking about physical death, even before the cross, but Jesus submit himself, and he say, if it is your will, I will do it. Jesus did everything. He really did. He washed the feet. He washed everything. What did Peter say when Jesus was going to wash his feet? Anyone?
You don't have to wash my feet.
Oh, okay. He wanted more, right? He wanted more. He said, if you're going to wash me, at first he said, no, 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 right? But later he said, if you really want to wash me, I'm going to wash my whole body. You know, can you imagine Jesus' like reaction? Like, whoa, we're not that close here, right? 3 years, only 3 years, Peter. 3 years, right? Think about it. It's like, you want to wash everything. But what did Jesus say? What did he say? Anyone? The feet is the most filthiest place. If the most dirty, filthiest place is cleansed, then the whole body is clean. What is the most filthiest thing this time period in us? Is your feet dirty anymore? No. The path that we walked, there's no dirt. The shoes that you're wearing, there's no dirt. Where is the most filthiest part of your body? It's our heart. It is our hearts. We need to clean our heart. Our hearts need cleansing. Do you agree? And that is why, really, we need to pray and guard our hearts. Lastly, to empty, you need the Word of God. I'll share a few verses with you, and I'll finish. Let's read it together. Take my yoke upon you, and learn from me. For I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your soul. Your heart can find rest if you learn from the Lord. Do you believe? Your heart will find rest. You will find and learn from Him. This is why He's calling out to you tonight. And He said, it's written, men shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. The Word of God empties us. Do you believe? The Word of God cleanses us. The Word of God rejuvenates everything. We need the Word of God. If we don't have the Word of God, then truly we have nothing. We have to pray if you want to empty yourself. We have to pray. The reason why we have to pray, think about what Jesus did before He came out to ministry. He fasted and He prayed for 40 days. Why do you suppose that He set such a tremendous condition for that? There's a reason for it, right? He first emptied out Himself. He first emptied out Himself and then He did what God wills. As He emptied Himself, and think about the entire fasting process. Not only physically, but spiritually, we're speaking of a lot of things and God's will can come upon Him. Have you tried fasting before? How do you feel?
It was great.
It was great. Why?
Because you're mentally clear.
You're mentally clear.
Yeah.
But how is that even possible? Because we thought that the more you're hungry, the more you cannot think. Right? You're so hungry the first day, the second day. Oh man, the third day. Wait for the third day.
But it is good.
Yeah, it depends how long you're fasting. It depends on how long you go. And you guess what? You say, I'm going to pray. And guess what? You're so tired. And you lay on the bed and say, I need to pray. Right? And you're laying there and say, what am I doing here? Why am I suffering like this? But I'm not praying. Right? And when you try to pray, why all the thing I can think of is only food. Right? Because you're hungry. And this is how you feel. And this is physically. This is what we are. But imagine that. Continue on going on and again and again. By which day do you feel like you're clear?
About
7. 7.
Pretty good, yeah.
You're very good.
Pretty good, yeah.
How long have you done it before?
With the 8th.
8th one.
Yeah.
8 whole weeks.
Yeah. No
water?
Water.
Water, no juice. So not like a liquid.
Juice is food.
Right, yeah. right. Because there's so many different fasting. This will be another topic in the future. Yeah, but then really, even Jesus did that. Why? Because there is a physical effect to it. And we have a testimony here saying that you're clear, right? When you really want a direction, you need some direction. That's the time when you do something like that.
And you realize how much time you actually spent on eating before.
That is true.
You have so much time.
See, because you eat, you have to go to the bathroom. Now you don't eat, you go less. Right? Yeah, so please try that since we don't have a bathroom around here. Yeah. Everyone, if you want to empty yourself, you have to pray. I'm going to talk about this a little bit more later on, but tomorrow morning we have a chance to pray. Tomorrow we have a chance to pray. Later after this, we have a chance to pray before you sleep. Use that chance. Ask God to empty out, because God will surely listen. Everyone, ultimately, this is a statement. Those who empty themselves, they became the disciple of the New Testament. Those who didn't, who couldn't, they remain as the Old Testament. And they remain as a Jewish people. And even today, after 2,000 years, they're still waiting for Messiah, who has already come and gone. So everyone, Jesus 2,000 years ago, He was not accepted. He was not accepted. He was not. What makes you think that He will be accepted today if He comes? Do you think He will come in the same form that you can recognize? Really ask yourself this question. What about today? If you don't empty yourself and you say, I'm waiting for the Lord, but you don't empty yourselves, are you confident enough to say you will receive the Lord? And that is the truth that we need to face ourselves. And that's the honesty that we need to look upon ourselves. And so, everyone, lastly is take action. Don't just listen, but you need to take action. In James, it says, "My dear brothers and sisters, take note of this." I'm going to take note. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. Because human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires. Therefore, get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you. Do not merely listen to the word. And so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what he says is like someone who looks at his face in a mirror, and after looking at himself, goes away immediately, forgets what he looks like. But whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they have heard, but doing it, they will be blessed in what they do. Take action, everyone. Amen? Take action. Don't think that I'm going to empty myself. Take action. Don't think I'm going to diet. Take action. Don't think I'm going to do detox. Take action. The Word of God, especially the Word of God, don't listen to the Word of God only, but take action on it. So today, I really pray that we can do something like that. And so lastly, I simply, there's one thing. This is my favorite parable, and I want to just demonstrate you the differences. You know about this parable, the parable of the wise builder and the foolish one. Jesus himself said, "Therefore, anyone who hears these words of mine," Jesus, "and puts them into practice, is like a wise person who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against the house, yet it did not fall, but because it had its foundation on the rock." And the same thing, but everyone who hears these words of mine and but does not put them into practice, it's like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash. Did they listen to the word? Did they listen to the word? Yes. Both of them listened to the word, right? Both of them listened to the word. But what's the difference? One took action, one practiced it, one did not. Everyone, I pray tonight, you'll become the wise one. Amen? Let's take action. Let's take action, empty ourselves. Do not just think whatever that one phrase that you can receive from. Take it home with you. Take it back home. Pray about it. Try it. So everyone, really, if I were to give you just a bonus one, let's praise God too. When we praise God, then we can do even more. The heart that was once hardened through songs of praise, it can be softened. So last 3 minutes, if you would, 5 minutes. Can we sing this song? Do you guys know the song? Still? Yeah. It's a Hill song. It's an old song. I know many of you know this song. And if you can, we're going to have a solo. Yeah. And I want you to take a moment to think about what you heard just now. Yeah. And reflect. And think about that one phrase. And through this song, through this short 3 minutes, I want to pray for you. I want you to pray about it too. Pray for yourself. Don't just sit there, listen merely to what the word is being preached to you. But dig yourself deeper into yourself. And then with that, allow God to do something tonight. Let's be like Christ. Amen.